6 weeks in the Far East, August 21 to October 5, 2006, by Robert C. Newman. This trip was made in the fall of 2006 after my retirement from 35 years of teaching at Biblical Theological Seminary near Philadelphia. 1 week was spent in Singapore, speaking in various venues there. Then 3.5 weeks in Malaysia, speaking in churches in the University of Malaysia, but primarily teaching 2 courses at the Bible College of Malaysia. And then at the end, 1.5 weeks in New Zealand, speaking in 2 venues and sightseeing. The trip over looks a little like this. Virginia to New Zealand, Monday the 21st of August, flew from Charlottesville to Philadelphia. Originally planned to be Charlottesville to Charlotte, North Carolina, but the plane was late and they rescheduled me. Then Philadelphia to Los Angeles, and left Los Angeles for Auckland late in the evening of August 21st. That brought us into Tuesday, 22nd August, and it took about 5 hours out of Los Angeles to cross the equator, and about 8.5 hours out of Los Angeles to cross the international dateline, which then flips us over into Wednesday, 23rd August, when I arrived in Auckland in the morning of the 23rd, about 11 hours out of LA. New Zealand to Singapore then starts on Wednesday, 23rd August, with a 6-hour layover in Auckland, and then about a 10.5-hour flight to Singapore. And there on the map, the moving line shows you the a flight from New Zealand to Singapore. The total flight from Charlottesville to Singapore, including the layovers, was 39 hours and 35 minutes, a long flight. Here on the map, we show the flight over with the red line running from Charlottesville to Philadelphia, then to Los Angeles, then down to Auckland, and then over to Singapore. Well, my activities in Singapore then began with my arrival about 7 p.m. on Wednesday, 23rd of August, and was taken to the guest housing at the Zion Bible Presbyterian Church in Serangoon by pastor and former biblical grad Kim Sin Yap. The 24th was a rest day. August 25th, Friday, I had a seminar with pastors in the area and then spoke also at a home Bible study that evening. August 26th, did a seminar on the Da Vinci Code at Zion Bible Presbyterian Church that during the day. And then in the evening, a lecture for the Graduate Christian Fellowship at the home of Alan Wong. Sunday, the 27th of August, spoke several times at Zion Bible Presbyterian Church. Monday, 28th of August, in the evening, gave a lecture for the Graduate Christian Fellowship at the YMCA building in downtown Singapore. And then Tuesday, the 29th of August, was my last day in Singapore. So some pictures. Here's the guest room at Zion Bible Presbyterian Church. It was new. The facility at Zion had just been redone. Tore down the old building and built a new one and had a guest room in this one. So there's a shot of the bed and then of the desk and table and desk and seats and bathroom, and here of the other corner with a little shelf with dishes and stuff in it and a microwave and a refrigerator and a hot pot and a device for water. Generally don't drink the water in Singapore. This is the new facilities of Zion Bible Presbyterian Church, Serangoon. One of my earlier slide talks shows their older building on the same site. The next picture then will show us up, a picture I'm taking of Kim Sin up facing towards that red flowering bush up there on the top story of the building. So there we are there, and that's Kim Sin Yap, senior pastor. August 25th, did a pastor's conference. The seminar was entitled The Bible, Its Transmission and Value, so dealt with various versions of the Bible and translation technique and then the transmission of the Bible, copying errors, and how to try and correct for those and that sort of thing, and then evidence that the Bible really is God's Word. That evening, I had dinner with one of the small groups, what they call action groups, at the church, and after a nice buffet meal, I gave a PowerPoint talk, Where is Heaven? The following day, Saturday the 26th of August, morning and afternoon was spent on a Da Vinci Code seminar. I gave several talks, introduction to the whole Da Vinci Code thing and some of the major questions it raises. Some of the New Testament evidence that shows us that there are serious problems historically with the Da Vinci Code. Evidence from church history along the same lines. A little picture of what Gnosticism was really like, what we know about other Gospels, and what we know about one of the secret societies that Dan Brown mentions, the so-called Priory of Zion. I have PowerPoint talks on all of these, and you can find those on our Hebrew website if you want to go into any of those further. That evening, the Graduate Christian Fellowship met at the home of Alan Wong, a place I stayed several times. Alan's a retired electrical engineer with the power company in Singapore. And so we started out with a dinner at the Wongs. Here you see several of us around one of the tables. And then I gave a talk on the Gospel of Judas, which had just been made a big splash earlier in the year, and then gave a talk on other Gospels, Nick Perrin's version of that. You'll find both my version and Nick Perrin's version, slightly different talks, on our Hebrew website as well. And here's a picture of the group there just before I gave my talk. I just given them greetings from my home church. Well, that was a Saturday the 26th of August, busy day. 27th of August was Sunday at Zion Bible Presbyterian Church of Serangoon, one of the areas of Singapore. The morning service, I spoke on some sobering thoughts on the kingdom. In the afternoon, I gave a lecture to Sunday school teachers on pictorial language in the Pauline epistles. And in the evening service, spoke on Luke 15, the parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son, and entitled it Finding the Lost. This picture, I believe, is taken from the evening service, because as I recall, the morning service was rather more crowded than that. Monday the 28th was active during the day, but the actual speaking was that evening, the Graduate Christian Fellowship lecture at the YMCA, and here you can see people scattered around the tables just before the talk is ready to begin. There was also a nice buffet there. The talk there was on intelligent design. August 29th was my last day in Singapore. I had lunch with biblical grad Colin Wong at the Sizzler Steakhouse. He took me to Changi Chapel and Museum, site of the concentration camp where the Japanese held the people who had been interned at Singapore, which would largely be some of the Chinese, some of the Singaporean officials and various British and others who were captured at that particular time. Here's a picture of me out in front of one of the signs there at the Changi Museum. And that evening, I gave a talk at Zion Bible Presbyterian Church on computer viruses, artificial life, and the origin of life. Well, that completed my activities in Singapore. On 30th of August, Wednesday, I met Kim Sin at the church, and we went by car up to Malaysia. So we left at about 7:12 in the morning, about a half an hour to enter Malaysia. And here's one of the highway signs in Malaysia on a bridge, I guess, crossing the highway we were taking. And after about a five-hour drive with some stops on the way, we arrived at the Bible College of Malaysia in the suburbs of Kuala Lumpur. My first weekend in Malaysia, Thursday, the 31st of August, so the day after I came up, was Malaysian Independence Day. Here's a picture of the part of the facilities at the Bible College in Malaysia, and the red circle there shows where the guest room was that I stayed. There's a classroom and a guest room up on that second floor, and then a classroom downstairs on that floor, the chapel back here where the peaked roof is behind the church van. That's the Bible College in Malaysia. So 31st August, Malaysian Independence Day, was kind of a day off for me, but it was taken out for me when visited around some places. Friday, September 1st, I was largely wandering around exploring the area around the college. And then Saturday, the 2nd of September, doing the final things needed to get ready for my my two courses, and also for speaking on the Sunday the next day. So Sunday, the 3rd of September, I spoke at Radiant Life Church at a location called Taman Cheras Perduna. So let's see. Here's some pictures from exploring the area. About a 10 or 15 minute walk from the Bible College brought me to a rather impressive Buddhist temple. This just shows you part of the complex there. And then just a block or two away from that, a large Baptist church. So some of the things out in the area. From there, I went on a little bit further, and about a 20 minute walk or so from the school brought me to a large Amcorp mall. I think the office buildings of the Amcorp group, and then a large commercial mall inside it in the middle there, where you can see the sign Amcorp Mall. The angling line across the front there is actually a light railway, raised railway tracks that run in front of that and go down to downtown Kuala Lumpur, which would be to the right from this picture. And right at the front of this, you can't see much of it, is a large sort of athletic grounds with a bunch of flags. Those are not U.S. flags, those are Malay flags. I'll make it a better look at one of those here in a moment. That night, that would be Saturday night, I had dinner at Sai Kung Restaurant with two of the Assembly of God pastors, Joyce Williams and Vinnie Yuan. They are actually pastors of a church I will speak in a couple of weeks later, Bethany Church. The churches I spoke in Malaysia this time were all Assemblies of God churches, since I was teaching at the Bible College in Malaysia, which is sponsored by the Assemblies of God. Here's the church I actually did speak in that Sunday, so the next day, Radiant Life Assembly of God Church. And this church has its storefront, but has both the downstairs level with their main worship area and that, and then some upstairs area for classrooms and such. Some of the other churches I've been to basically were only upstairs and were built over a renting area or buying area over a business of some sort. Here's a picture of about a third of the people that were there at that time. I took several pictures. Well, my talk at Radiant Life Church, PowerPoint talk, was They Saw Jesus Centuries in Advance. That brings us to the first week of classes, and that looks roughly like this. Monday, 4th of September, gave the intro to my parables class in the morning, had lunch with some students and faculty at Euro Deli, and then gave my introduction to evidences class in the evening. Tuesday, began going through the particular parables, the parables of lost and found, and had lunch at the Overseas Chinese Restaurant, and then in the evening gave my PowerPoint talk, Cosmos in the Bible, for my evidence class, and we began to work through objections to Christianity. What we had here basically is that the school bought some groceries for me to put in my refrigerator and such at the my guest room, and then I also later in the weeks bought groceries myself. So typically I had breakfast and dinner in my room, but then sometimes faculty, but usually students of my parables class, all of whom were grown and usually had some other job, took me out to various places to have lunch. So really got quite a nice variety of different places to eat. Wednesday, the 6th of September, spoke on the Parables of Forgiveness in our Parables class. I had lunch at Rumaku Gallery and Cafe in the evening to the Evidences class. Gave my PowerPoint talks, Cosmos and Contact and Intelligent Design. Thursday, the 7th, spoke on Parables of Stewardship in the morning. Ate at the restaurant Extra Super Tanker. I'll show you a picture of that one and display, explain that. And gave my material on Designed Universe, and had the students discuss with me their assignment on trying to construct a jargon-free gospel. And then on Friday, the 8th of September, spoke on Parables of Invitation and Rejection in the morning, and had lunch at Castell's restaurant. The Evidences course did not meet on Fridays, so met in the evenings Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, whereas the Parables course met 5 days a week on Mondays in general. Here's a picture of my Parables class, 8 students in that, and myself shown here. And they were basically master's level student. That was what that course was. Here's the restaurant Euro Deli Shop, which is a place I had lunch with faculty and students on Monday. And then here are a couple of shots showing my Evidences students. This looking one direction in the class, and this looking the other direction. Actually had about 43 students in that particular class. Here's the a shot I took of the whiteboard after we had filled it up, discussing in class from their assignments. They'd been assigned the first night put together a list of 10 objections to Christianity that they had heard of or been confronted with, or something of that sort, that they were thought were the most common and the most difficult. And so here we have them listed as we put them down with some notations by them. I'm not sure I can tell you what all the notations were, but I think maybe M was many and something of that sort. does God really exist? First objection, is Jesus really the only way? Second one, Christians are hypocritical. Third one, I don't need God. Fourth, all gods are the same. Five, Christianity is a Western religion. Six, the Bible was written by humans. Seven, my parents and my community will disown me if I become a Christian. Number eight. Number nine, no life after death. 10, Christianity is polytheistic. Probably a Muslim reaction, okay, to the Trinity. Certainly not a reaction of Buddhism or something where they're polytheistic. Number 11, how can a good God send people to hell? 12, Christianity is too restrictive. 13, why do we get punished for Adam and Eve's sin? 14, Jesus did not die on the cross. 15, I didn't ask Jesus to die for me. 16, religion is a crutch. 17, how can a good God allow suffering or evil? 18, no evidence for Jesus' resurrection. 19, church leaders are getting rich off their people. 20, why would God reject people trying to be good? 21, is there really a virgin birth? Number 22, don't impose Christianity on me. 23, why did God allow Adam and Eve to sin if he knows all? And 24, what will happen to my poor ancestors if I become a Christian? Obviously a group that's involved in a veneration of ancestors in one way or another. So, here's a shot of the outside of the Super Tanker restaurant. That probably won't register particularly for Westerners and such who are not familiar with it, but it relates to the practice in Chinese culture, Chinese cities, of often having restaurants with the live seafood right there in tanks, and you pick out the one you want, the crab or the fish or the lobster or whatever you want, and they pull it out and they take it in and cook it, so you get it right there fresh, etc. So this is the Extra Super Tanker restaurant, as you can see from the sign there. And here, a picture inside with May on the right, one of my students in the parables class, and the husband of one of my other students on the left, and then his wife taking the picture. Second weekend, Friday, 8th September, had dinner downtown at TGI Fridays, and then a tour of downtown Kuala Lumpur at night. Saturday, 9th of September in the evening, I went to a birthday party for May Tan, wife of Jonathan Tan, one of my evidences students. And Sunday, 10th of September, spoke at the First Assembly of God in downtown Kuala Lumpur, gave my PowerPoint talk on the Book of Job, and ate at the restaurant Teochew. So here is Adeline and Raymond He. Adeline is one of my parable students at TGI Fridays. And here's a picture of the lights downtown in the government section of Kuala Lumpur. So Supreme Court and some of the government buildings there. These are a couple pictures from the birthday for Mary Tan. Some people singing for her. And here she is in front of her birthday cake, and I think it's her son standing there beside her. This is a couple shots from the First Assembly of God in Kuala Lumpur. Give you a little idea of the group. The group I spoke to was the English-speaking group, which is probably not as big as, I guess, the Chinese-speaking group, but still a good-sized group. This shows you about two-thirds, three-quarters of the group. And I spoke on the Book of Job there. Here's an outside shot of the restaurant Teochew, and some various signs in English and Chinese, etc. I found that in Malaysia, there's a fair number of English signs and then Chinese signs with a lot of the areas I was around, which was the Chinese cultural section. But of course, the official language of Malaysia is Malay. And so there are lots of signs in Malaysian as well. Second week of classes, Monday the 11th, spoke to parables class on the parables of the Second Coming. We had lunch at the Meeting Point Cafe, and then in the evidences course, spoke at the gave a PowerPoint talk on the creation evolution debate. Tuesday, parables of the kingdom. And had lunch at restaurant PJ Tai Tong, and in the evening at Evidences spoke on pre-knowledge of science and astronomy in the Bible. Wednesday the 13th, no morning class. Wednesday and Thursday were 100th anniversary of the Pentecostal movement, would be 1906, so thinking of the events in Los Angeles, I believe it was, that started the viewed as starting the Pentecostal movement. And I did, however, meet my evidences class in the evening and spoke on fulfilled prophecy. Thursday the 14th, then no morning class also, had lunch with the Bible College of Malaysia staff and gave a talk in the evening on evidences regarding Jesus. And then Friday the 15th, spoke in the parable class on illustrative parables. And we had lunch at the IKEA restaurant. So some pictures from that week. Here's the Meeting Point Cafe with two of my students, Geneva, I guess is her name, Sin, and Angeline He. Lots of these, since they speak English rather well, are what we might think of as anglicized Chinese, and they often have an English name as well as a Chinese name. And I'm doing good to remember their English names, much less their Chinese names. Here am I also at this particular place. We're actually at the last course here, working on some tropical fruit. This is the Rumaku Cafe and Gallery, which I spoke at, which I ate lunch at on another occasion. And here, the entrance sign, or one of the entrance signs to the University of Malaya, and have also some Arabic below the University of Malaya sign. Malay is not generally written in Arabic script. It's written in what we think of as Latin script, our script. This is Nancy Lai, who took me out to the IKEA restaurant. nice restaurant located in a large IKEA store. You may or may not be familiar with IKEA stores. Dutch, Scandinavian, I think, actually, furniture and other sorts of things. And here a picture of a soft ice cream stand where I got a little cone, a little soft ice cream cone for Melee dollar, I guess you could call it, which is something like 27 cents, so a very reasonable priced soft ice cream cone. Well, that brings us to the third weekend, Saturday, September 16th. I went out walking in the neighborhood and walked down to see the Peddling Jaya Gospel Hall, would be one of the large Plymouth Brethren Assembly near where the school is. It's on the same road, maybe a mile down, three-quarters of a mile down. Had lunch over at the Amcor Mall at the Pie Shop, an Australian place that served meat pies and such. And then spent some time reading. I did a lot of reading in the course of my time there in Malaysia. Sunday the 17th of September, I spoke at Bethany Chapel. That was the two girls that were pastors that I had a picture of there earlier on. That's in a suburb, I guess, of Kuala Lumpur called Kipong. And I spoke on biblical pictures of salvation. And then had lunch with a couple at the Kana Curry House afterwards. So here's the Peddling Jaya Gospel Hall. See, a rather big place with common gated. That's common with really most of the houses and such in that area. So gated parking here, where you can go in and park your car, I guess, in a secure way. Here's a picture of the congregation at Bethany Chapel just before I gave my talk, and some more of that congregation. I gave the PowerPoint talk, Biblical Pictures of Salvation. You can see in this picture the digital projector on their ceiling there. Typically the churches and the chapel at the Bible College of Malaysia all had digital projectors in their main worship area. And of course the major use of that, I suppose, would be for hymns and choruses and such. To put the lyrics up on it. I don't know to how much extent they normally use that for preaching, since I was the preacher all of these occasions. This is the Kana Curry House, restaurant Kana Curry House, and the food we had at least was Malay food, I believe. My hosts were Tom Chi Yoon and Pauline, a couple from the Bethany Church. And here's Tom Chi and Pauline just off the right out of the picture there. And the table set with the food there that we were eating. The green sort of a mat is actually a piece of palm leaf. And that's what they serve the food directly onto. Been, you know, cleaned and cut and put out for your sort of a table mat to eat the food directly off of, though. And you can see the food down there in front of us includes some meats and some rice and some breads and various kinds of sauces, which are in those cans, those three cans with a handle on it, and some kind of beverage there. I think some kind of a fruit beverage I had. I'd have to look at my notes to see what that was. Third week of classes. Monday, September 18th was my last session on parables, which I spoke on the acted parables, and we had lunch at Restaurant Country Kitchen, and then the evening on evidences, I spoke on Jesus and the resurrection. Tuesday, 19th of September, I spoke in the BCM Chapel. I gave my parable talk, The Crooked Business Manager. Had a lunch in the BCM lunchroom, and in the evening, spoke on evidence from redemption. And then Wednesday, 20th September, went out to visit the Mid Valley Mega Mall, which is the biggest mall in Kuala Lumpur, some couple hundred stores at least. I'll show you some pictures of that. Had lunch at the Pizza Hut there, and then spoke to my evidence of students on Redeemed Society. Thursday, the 21st of September, we had the parables exam in the morning. Ate at the Overseas restaurant at lunch, and then evidences exam in the evening. And Friday, part of the day was spent grading exams. Part of the day was spent giving a talk in the morning at the University of Malaya on beliefs in physics, having lunch in the University of Malaya cafeteria, and giving a talk in the evening on at the University of Malaya on intelligent design. So let's have a look at those. This is the Bible College of Malaysia chapel, and the people who were there for my preaching there on the Quirks of Business Manager. This is Mid Valley Mega Mall. This shows you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different levels, I guess, in the mall from where this picture was taken. This shows you the big theater there, Golden Screen Cinema with 18 screens. And this, the Pizza Hut, where I had lunch. Here's the Overseas restaurant where I had lunch on Thursday, and Living Lee, professor of geology at University of Malaya, is on the left. He has been my host on this several times in visits to Malaya. And Wendy Ching, the academic dean at Bible College of Malaysia, is a Bible College of Malaya. Yeah, Malaysia, I think it's called, is on the right in this picture, and two of the people that were at the lunch there together. Here's the entrance to the University of Malaya, one of the drive-in entrances, and here's a picture of me giving my talk, one of my talks there. I spoke in the morning at Beliefs in Physics, and this picture I think is taken in the late afternoon, early evening when I spoke on intelligent design. Well, that basically completed my 3.5 weeks in Malaya and Malaysia. And so Saturday, 23rd of September, began my travel from Malaysia to Singapore to New Zealand. Took a cab early from the seminary, from the Bible College to downtown, and then caught a express train, the KLIA Kuala Lumpur International Airport Express, out to the airport, which is about 20 miles out of town, and flew by air to Singapore and arrived there about 1 p.m. Had about a 7-hour layover in Singapore and left Singapore for Auckland, New Zealand at 8:30 p.m. 24th of September, arrived in Auckland at 9:30 a.m. Obviously some time change as well, but it was about 9.5-10 hour flight, I believe, and met Steve Kumar. Steve was the director, I think maybe still is the director, of the New Zealand Evangelical Apologetics Ministry. I've forgotten the last word in the name. And also a involved, I think, a president of a small seminary there. And I had some contact with him by email and such before, though I don't believe I'd ever met him. Well, he met me, and we visited two places in Auckland, Cornwall Park and One Tree Hill. Here's a picture of Steve and Auckland in the background. And here a picture of Cornwall Park and One Tree Hill. Some people looking at it from there. It's a height above Auckland. And then myself standing by a memorial there at One Tree Hill. Steve took me then from Auckland about halfway out to Hamilton. Hamilton must be an hour or so south of Auckland, and there I met Daywood Latif, who was a board member of Steve's, a good friend of Steve's. I had met Daywood before up in Toronto when I was up speaking on the TV program 100 Huntley Street. I had gone to a nearby Brethren Assembly, Plymouth Brethren Assembly, on Sunday, the day before the TV program, and had run into Daywood Latif, who happened to be visiting there from New Zealand, and lo and behold, it turned out he knew Steve Kumar, who I had had some contact with recently, up to that time, not direct contact, but mail contact and such. So I met him here, and we went on to Hamilton, where I stayed with him for a couple nights. And that evening, I spoke at Hillcrest Chapel, my brethren Plymouth Brethren Assembly, on intelligent design and computer viruses, artificial life, and the origin of life. On Monday, Daywood's wife Judy took me out to visit Waitomo Caves and also visited the Otora Hondo Kiwi House Native Bird Park. So we'll try a couple pictures of those here as well. Here's their family, Daywood and Judy Latif on the left, their daughter Sarah and husband Bill on the right with their dog Giordi, and in the middle their cousin Craig and wife Susan with son Lucas. So this chance to meet family, just Daywood and Judy actually live at this place. Their daughter Sarah is married and lives elsewhere, and cousin Craig and Susan were just visiting for the day, but a nice chance to visit some of the family. I believe Daywood comes from Fiji originally. I may be wrong about that. Fiji Islander, I guess. And I would guess from his name that his background is Muslim. This is Hillcrest Chapel in Hamilton, where I gave my talks that evening on intelligent design and computer viruses, artificial life, and the origin of life. This is the entrance to the Waitomo Caves, which are caverns. Somewhat unusual in that the part of the visit to the caves is on foot and part of it is by boat, so you end up the last part of it by boat, and seeing glowworms hanging from the ceiling in that part. They don't allow you to take pictures indoors, so the only picture I've got is here at the dock at the end of the talk, having come back out into the light at that point. Judy and I had a snack at the Red Apple House, a nice little place not far from there, and then went on to the Otora Hondo Kiwi House. Here's the plan of the Native Bird Park with the different kinds of birds or different kinds of environments shown, a forest bird aviary and waterfowl pond and such as well. And this picture, I think, of a kiwi. So kiwis are fairly rare now and such. I know I did see a kiwi while I was there. I'm not absolutely sure whether this picture belongs to that bird or to one of the others. I have several bird pictures, and the others are definitely not kiwis. Well, after the time spent with the Latifs in Hamilton, which was arriving on Sunday, staying over Sunday night, these travels around to the caves and to the bird park on Monday, and then staying over Monday night, I began a three-day trip in a rental car on North Island from Hamilton down to Wellington, the south end of North Island. That started Tuesday morning, the 26th, drove down to Matamata and took the bus tour of the Hobbiton site. That is the site where the Hobbiton materials for the Lord of the Rings were made, and then went on to Ruarua, an area with lots of hot springs and volcanic type activity, and stayed overnight at the Palm Court Motel there. And then on Wednesday the 27th, went down to a rather spectacular hot springs area, Waiotapu, and nearby the Lady Knox Geyser. Then drove on to Lake Taupo, one of the big lakes, and then took a bus down to Hookah Falls there and stayed overnight at the Karika Tree Motel in Taupo. So some pictures from this. Here's my rental car. It's a actually very much like the car I bought subsequently, but very small hatchback of a slightly vanished sort, but much smaller than what we think of it generally as minivans. Here's the welcome sign at Matamata, welcome to Hobbiton, Matamata, and I presume this sculpture is perhaps supposed to be the Gollum in the Lord of the Rings. Here's a picture of Bag End in Hobbiton, and it doesn't look quite as much like it did in the picture because a lot of the stuff would not stand weather and was taken down, but the excavations and some of the more solid stuff is still there. So in this particular picture, you have a picture from the film showing what it looked like when the film was made, and we can see the stairway coming up to with the entrance to Bag End there. And then one of the windows on the right here. Here's a picture taken, I guess, by one of the guides, looking out through the entrance to Bag End to me, and then down the hill to the party tree and the site of the party and such, and with one of the women tourists seen through the other window there. This is Palm Court at Rotorua, and interesting both here and down at Lake Taupo, the motel rooms typically had a hot tub in each room that was fed really by water that was heated by the volcanic activity in the area. So hot springs producing water for a hot tub. This is a picture of the lake at Rotorua. I can actually see a seaplane, a couple of seaplanes out there in the water, and they obviously do boat tours out there as well, and there were some hot spring and geyser type activity, etc., in the area as well, though I got there fairly late at Rotorua and actually did most of my seeing of that sort the next day down at Waiotapu. Here's the entrance to the Waiotapu, which they call Thermal Wonderland, underneath. And here's one picture of some of the hot spring type activity there at Waiotapu. We timed things for our visit there at Waiotapu so we could also go see the Lady Knox Geyser, not as big as Old Faithful or anything of that sort, a geyser that will blow off every hour or so, and the ranger there, we see him here in this first picture, actually seeds the thing to cause the geyser to go off when you've actually got a audience there, so they give you the time at which the geyser will go off, and since they seed it, you do actually get that effect. Here we see the geyser blowing off then just a few minutes after he put the stuff in the geyser. I believe it's laundry detergent or something of that sort that you put in to set the thing off. At Lake Taupo, I found there was a double-decker bus, old British bus, that takes you down to Hooker Falls, and so just to ride on the double-decker bus and such, I went down to see it. The Hooker Falls is impressive, but not the biggest thing you'd ever see. The bus is a bus that was actually made a trip. It was purchased by some hippies in London, and they got it by ferry or something over to France, and then really drove all the way across Europe and Asia until they got to something like Singapore. I don't remember the exact location. And then it was taken by ferry or something and finally made it down to New Zealand and was eventually picked up by this company that does these tours. Here's a picture of the Hooker Falls, and I don't know, probably 30 feet wide and coming down maybe 40 feet or something of that sort with quite a bit of water. Some pictures from Lake Taupo here looking out across the lake. So both Rotorua and Lake Taupo have rather substantial sized lakes in them, which I think are probably craters of a earlier volcano of some sort from way back. And here's some of the very impressive flowers around that area as well. Well, from Lake Taupo on Thursday morning, I headed off for Wellington, took what they call the desert route, and after crossing this desert area, it's more actually a wilderness area. It's not a dry desert, since New Zealand is not a dry place. It got good rainfall. And then came to the Queen Elizabeth II Military Museum in Waiuru and looked through the displays there, and then got down in the late afternoon to Wellington and had dinner with the Udstroms. On Friday the 29th, Carolyn Udstrom took me out sightseeing to the part of Wellington called Seatoun, as we call it Seatown, but that's the way it's spelled and pronounced, and up onto Mount Victoria and to the New Zealand National Museum. Here's the desert road, and parts of it were pretty deserted. Unfortunately, the weather was not real great. If it had been clear weather, we would have seen some pretty impressive mountains with snow capping on them, but I didn't. So that's one of the problems with any trip where you've only got a couple of days for particular things. You see what's there when you're there. Here's the entrance to the Queen Elizabeth II Military Museum, the Kippenberger Pavilion. And here, one of the displays inside showing the Desert Corps. I guess the New Zealand troops involved in the Desert Corps with a armored vehicle, and the guy is shaving outside the vehicle. A couple of shots of the terrain, the scenery, if you like, between that area and Wellington. Here's a picture along a railroad track. I stopped to take a picture of the mountains there and the sky, but also saw this yellow, which is, I was told, was Scotch broom. We used to have some of that in Mom's front yard, but never as impressive as this. But a plant that grows well in Scotland and apparently grows well in New Zealand as well. New Zealand has a number of features that resemble Scotland in certain ways. Here's a picture taken from the living room. Mike and Carolyn Udstrom were, when I visited them, at least the beginning of the visit, were finishing up several days of house-sitting for their pastor. Pastor and wife were away, and their kids stayed behind, so they're basically kid-sitting. The kids aren't babies, but kid-sitting and house-sitting. And this house has kind of a spectacular view over the bay at Wellington, so you can see a little to the right side of the window some of Wellington and then some of the islands out in the bay there. As I said, Carolyn Udstrom took me along to go see some of Wellington, and the two kids at their kids sitting also went along. So here's a picture of a rock cave near Wellington with Carolyn in the middle, and Josh, age 13, over on the left taking pictures, and Bethany, age 8, over on the right watching. Here's Mount Victoria up on there with a big cannon commemorating probably its use as partly as a fort, and Bethany up on the cannon, and Josh taking a picture of her, and then a picture of me standing with the some of the view of Wellington Bay again in the background from up on Mount Victoria. We also got into downtown Wellington. Here's a picture of street scene down there, and you can see from the wires overhead that they have trolley buses, is one of their techniques, I suppose, of avoiding pollution, something of that sort. And this is a picture of a rather striking a playground, some kind of device over here on the left, a sort of a bow-shaped steel track with a thing it rode on it, sort of like what do we call those things? Surfboard, I guess, sort of like a surfboard or the skateboard, and the thing is built onto the track so it won't come off, but you can climb up on it and balance yourself and slide back and forth, and usually helps to have a spotter to grab you if you start to fall. Well, while I was at Wellington, the Udstroms actually live out in the suburbs, and the family that the home that they were staying at also out in the suburbs, not too far from where they live. Did some sightseeing, traveling around. Michael Udstrom on Saturday was off work. Took me to Upper Hutt, canyon, if you like, where the Helm's Deep pictures in The Lord of the Rings were shot, and then Kaiatoki Regional Park, where the Rivendell pictures were shot, and then to the Fell Locomotive Museum, and then down to Cape Palliser, which is the southernmost point on North Island of New Zealand. And then on Sunday, the 1st of October, I spoke twice at Newlands Baptist Church. I gave my PowerPoint talks, Creation Science in the Bible and Intelligent Design. And basically, the I guess they were at the Sunday school and morning service time. And then that evening had a question and answer time at the Udstrom's place. Well, some pictures from that. Here's the site of Helm's Deep in Lord of the Rings. And you'd have to look at some pictures from the Lord of the Rings to see whether that is really recognizable or not. I think probably does look somewhat like it. At Rivendell in Lord of the Rings, there was a sign commemorating the use of it, and this is my host, Michael Udstrom, with a umbrella there. It's a little rainy. I could not, looking around there, visualize the pictures from that. Either maybe they had used some areas that we weren't at, or had cleared away some brush or something, but there was a suspension bridge over one of the sections, but even there I didn't see anything that particularly struck me that way. This is the Fell Locomotive Museum, one of the locomotives that they have there. And here's a couple pictures from down Cape Palliser. There's a area there where there's a lot of commercial fishing done, and the beach is not such that you can run your boats in very easily. So basically what they do is they have a launching techniques that use, I guess, probably old abandoned Caterpillar tractors that push or pull these trailers out into the water until you're out deep enough that the fishing boats can roll out from there. So here's a picture of one of those with the fishing boat on it. We did see some seals while we were there at Cape Palliser, and this is one of the couple best pictures, at least I had, of any of the seals there. This is actually the Cape itself with the lighthouse down there on the edge of the ridge, and then a closer shot of the Cape Palliser lighthouse. Well, this is Newlands Baptist Church, where I spoke Sunday. And here my audience at the presentation of one of the two talks, Creation Science, the Bible, and Intelligent Design. That's Carolyn Udstrom in the second row, kind of middle there, and Michael with the whitish hair and beard to my right of her, and one of their guests, a unbelieving fellow who came out to Carolyn's right. South Island, while we're there, it turned out it would be possible to make a trip down to South Island for the couple more days I had. So I booked a flight from Wellington down to Christchurch on South Island, about halfway down South Island, and flew down there, and had breakfast, got to the hotel I was going to be staying at in time that the breakfast was still going on, and so had breakfast at the Windsor Hotel, which was nice, a nice breakfast, nice buffet, and since I had to head out for the train ride back up the coast on South Island early the next morning, I only had a box breakfast the next morning, so it was really nice that I got there in time for this breakfast at the Windsor Hotel. Visited some of the sites in the city, the Canterbury Museum, just a few blocks from where my hotel was, the city's cathedral, and then took a city tour tram around to see a fair bit of the city as well. And then had dinner at the Oxford on Avon restaurant. There's a river called the Avon at Christchurch. Christchurch is considered in many ways the most British of the cities in New Zealand. It's also one of the southernmost of the major cities in New Zealand. And so this was a roast beef dinner with Yorkshire pudding and all of that. Really quite nice. I enjoyed that very much. Tuesday, 3rd of October, I got up very early and got over to the train station and went up the east coast of South Island by means of what they call the transcoastal train, and had a chance to see some good scenery there, although the weather again was somewhat cloudy. Didn't really see the mountains as one would like if you had really clear weather. And then up at the north end of South Island, took the Picton-Wellington ferry, which took you back across the intervening space between North and South Island. And then had dinner with Mike and Carolyn Ostrom out at the Fisherman's Table in Wellington that evening. So here's a picture of Christchurch right out in front of my hotel. That is the tour tram going by there, a streetcar with electric power. And you can see kind of a park there in front of us. And just within a couple blocks walk, the Canterbury Museum and a college there, private school. Here's the Canterbury Museum, apparently built in 1870, and rather a sort of Gothic style, if you like. Even got a Bible quotation on it. Lo, these are parts of his ways, but how little a portion is heard of him, etc. Some of the flowers out in front of the Canterbury Museum shown here, and really quite a nice park there by Canterbury Museum. I had to take a picture of the store, Sheepskins Unlimited, a sheepskin store, I guess. Of course, New Zealand is one of the big sheep raising areas in the whole world, and so these are distinctive products of New Zealand. I just took this picture, a restaurant, I believe, because of the rather striking buildings that had these stores on the lower level. A picture of a Maori, what we call a totem pole, we would call it, I guess, at least from Northwestern American Indians. Doubtless have a name of their own in one of the parks there at Christchurch. And here's the restaurant I ate in Oxford on Avon with, it's obviously a tourist place of some sort. You can see an American flag and a British flag and a Japanese flag, and the one under that is either, I think that's probably Australian flag, and I don't recognize enough of the others to know what they are. But here's a picture of the train taken inside going up the east coast of South Island. Try to take some pictures outside, but one, the weather is not too great, and taking side shots out a train are not too great either. They did have an open car where there was no glass that you could go out to and take pictures, and that was cold, but I did take a few pictures here. We're running alongside the highway, and we're going to go in one of those two tunnels over there as the train comes around the corner here. Here's a picture of a train at a stop. I don't remember the name of the place well enough. It's the one stop on the, well, at least the one major stop on the coast as you go up from Christchurch up to Picton at the other end. And that's the open car you're looking at there on the left. You can see kind of handrails leaning back in on the side windows, but no glass in the window and such. Here's a picture from the Picton-Wellington ferry. We're just getting ready to pull out, or perhaps have just pulled out from the dock. And here's a picture after we're out a ways, and you can see actually cleared up a bit. You can actually see a little bit of mountain scenery there on the ferry. and here a picture taken at the other end of the trip. And see something of the size of the ferry, Inter-Islander, New Zealand's ferries, if you like. So that kind of brings us near the end of the trip then. On Wednesday, the 4th of October, I paid my last respects to Carolyn and Michael Udstrom, and then went by air from Wellington up to back up to Auckland. And then we had about an 8-hour layover in Auckland, so I got a chance to go downtown and do a little bit of a bus tour of downtown Auckland, which I really had not had a chance to coming in. And then basically left Auckland for Los Angeles about 11 p.m. on Wednesday, the 4th of October, and then arrived in L.A. at about 2:18 p.m. on the same day. Okay, so you actually appear to make up some time where you cross the international dateline is a part of what is going on there. So you have a very, this is typical of coming back from the Far East. You have a very long day coming back that's all the same date. Spent overnight in the Doubletree Hotel at El Segundo, a suburb of Los Angeles. Well, here's a picture. This, after coming back from the ferry, the house sitting of the Udstroms was over in their back in their own house. So this is a picture of my bedroom looking out into their yard, into some of the hills on beyond. You can see it's very green out there. We went over to say goodbye to Michael at his office in NIWA, which is essentially the weather research facility for the New Zealand government. So a little bit like NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration of the U.S. This is Michael at his computer with all his stuff there involved in computer modeling of various climate phenomena. Here's the plane that I took on the flight to Auckland. I think this is probably the picture after I got off the plane. I think we're in Auckland here because it was rather cloudy and very windy before we took off down in the south end. And a downtown scene in Auckland. And another scene from inside the tour bus. This is a picture of a ferry. Up in, this is at Auckland, so this doesn't have anything to do with the ferries down in Wellington. And one of the public buildings, I think it's the customs house, or the old customs house at Auckland. And so an old building and a new building in Auckland as well. So a little idea of what the scenery looks like there. This is the Doubletree Hotel in Los Angeles, actually in El Segundo, that I stayed at when I was stayed overnight in the Los Angeles area. And this is the Chili Verde Mexican food place that I had dinner at that evening. And then headed home, left the Los Angeles International Airport 10:50 a.m. This would be October 5th. Arrived in Philadelphia 6:30 p.m. Arrived in Charlottesville 10 p.m. Met Jim and Ann, and home at 11 p.m. 15 p.m. So tracing the flight back really looks like reverse the flight over Singapore to Auckland, and then about a week in Auckland, and then back up to Los Angeles, overnight in Los Angeles, and then into Philadelphia, and then transfer to the flight to Charlottesville. Well, a good trip, and I enjoyed it very, very much. Thank you for being able to share this with you.